I'm Theo.
And I'm Juliet.
And this is Apologies Accepted.
We offer an entertaining look at some of the big issues in history by examining public apologies of the famous and infamous.
We're looking at politicians, serial killers, actors, and you.
Send us a public apology you'd like to make, and we'll read it on the air and give you a chance to redeem yourself or just get some guilt off your shoulders.
We're here for you. Once a week, maybe more if you're really, really sorry. Hi, everybody.
This is Apologies Accepted,
the podcast.
And I'm not Theo.
And I'm not Juliet.
And I would like to know what's shaking bacon, Mr. Theo.
Well, as I told you pre-show, nothing. Absolutely. Not a damn thing. It is Easter Sunday today. So
oh, yeah. Happy Easter, everybody.
Hallelujah. And everything here is closed. Do they close up San Francisco on Easter?
No.
So like Trader Joe's is open?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe it's closed here on Sunday.
Huh.
This one day, like they close for Christmas and they close for Easter. Anyway, so I made the mistake of going to the grocery store on Friday. Of course, you know, we're only going to run out of all the food in the house on Sunday and we'll need something to eat, and we'll have to eat grass, so I better go buy food. And everybody else in the world was at the grocery store, too.
Wow.
Traffic was insane all weekend, but today, the roads are blissfully traffic-free. It's still early in the morning here on Easter Sunday.
Go out to get coffee?
I went and got coffee. Yep.
Yeah.
Very necessary.
Yep.
Let's see. And so that's largely it. Of course, by the time we release this episode, Easter will be well over, but the Great American Apocalypse is approaching. The eclipse is coming. And so this show will air closer to the eclipse than to Easter.
Happy eclipse.
So are you doing anything for the eclipse?
We're not going to see it here, I don't think. What about you?
Oh, I haven't a clue. I didn't even know there was an eclipse coming until somebody asked me what I was doing for the eclipse. The eclipse?
I know that you can see it from the Midwest really well, supposedly, but that's all I know about it.
I know they've closed hundreds of schools on that day because the eclipse will happen around the time that schools are letting out, and they just feel like it'll be pandemonium, too many cars on the road. I don't know, everybody.
Sure, whatever.
I was a kid. I saw a real life eclipse. And it was cool, but I don't recall the entire world
stopping.
There
being so many eclipses when I was younger. It seems like there are more and more of them lately. It seems like there's an eclipse every 6 weeks or something.
We didn't have the moon when we were younger. And so,
we didn't have the moon.
Yeah,
we had to suffer without.
A new heavenly body that's just appeared in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of eclipses. And the thing that gets me with the stupid eclipse is these people that are like, oh, it just shows that, like, God is real because the moon perfectly blocks the sun, but enough of the sun comes out that you can see the halo around the moon and all that. It's, like, perfectly sized, right? Like, I don't know, 30 million years ago, the moon was a lot closer to the Earth, and the moon's moving away from the Earth something like a fraction of a millimeter a year, but like in 100 million years, the moon will be gone.
Yeah.
Right.
So what does that say about your God?
So, this feels rather sacrilegious to be discussing on Easter Sunday. So we'll leave it at that. That is my bacon. Eclipses, Easter Sunday, the moon is going to fly off into space. Good luck, everybody. What about you? What's shaking bacon?
I still don't have a chair. After all this time, I'm still without a chair. And I decided not to buy the $700 chair or whatever, how much it was, because it doesn't have arms. And I just haven't been able to commit myself to a chair because the ones that do have arms are ugly. But
it's kind of true.
It is true. But I need arms to lean on while I'm talking. So I have to have arms. So I don't know. That's really all my bacon. I haven't been doing anything but working. And I wanted to go to Mendocino this weekend, but it kind of rained on Friday and part of Saturday. So I'm glad we didn't go. I think we're going to go in 2 weeks just to go up with the dog and hang out and check out the scene in Mendocino. So that'll be fun. But that's it. So I guess we can talk about the story if you'd like.
I would love to talk about this story because what a thing.
Oh, what a thing. Yeah, it really made me mad. So we'll talk about that, I guess. Jonathan Shuchuk is the dude's name that we're talking about. He is a Berkeley computer science professor, and he's been teaching at Berkeley since 1998, so that's like 26 years, I guess. He has a Computer Science 189 course, which is introductory computer science, and there's an online discussion forum that I guess all classes have nowadays. I wouldn't know, but I'm assuming that's the case. And a student posted there recently asking for advice about finding work in the Bay Area and dating, which is weird to post to a class forum in the first place. And second, the post, which I read, but I don't have it to read. It's a little bit long, but it was one of those posts that you see men making that you're like, I can't get a girlfriend. I can't get a job, and woe is me, and kind of self-pitying. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. So that was sort of the tone of it. And Jonathan Shuchuk, the professor of this course, responded saying, if you want a girlfriend, get out of the Bay Area. Almost everywhere else on the planet is better for that. I'm not kidding at all. You'll be shocked by the stark differences in behavior of women in places where women are plentiful versus their behavior within artillery distance of San Jose and San Francisco. So first off, artillery distance?
I just fixated on that, and I kind of like it in a not in this situation, right? But I like that phrase, right? Okay. But I would only ever use it in a time of warfare,
right? I mean, it makes it sound like he wants to shoot these women in the first place, and in the second place, he also said places where women are plentiful, which is like, what are we, a natural resource or a prey animal? That's crazy. It's like he's talking about oranges or something. It makes me mad. And the response, so some people responded in the forum, and one person said, with all due respect, I don't think this is very appropriate for a classroom discussion board, let alone at all. And an anonymous person responded, this conversation is entirely inappropriate for a forum intended for learning and has tons of misogyny. As a woman taking this class, I'm shocked by this thread, as well as the professor's engagement. Another anonymous person said, unfortunately, misogyny in STEM is still well and alive. Comments like these and the ones made in the Discord are the exact reason many women don't consider STEM as a path. No matter how qualified or smart a woman is, they'll always have to deal with inappropriate sexist remarks like these. And someone else responded, hard agree. As a TA, if I said this, I would be rightfully fired. So a little while later, I don't know how much time passed, but the UC Berkeley officials deemed his response as offensive. I mean, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Roca Montes, who's a spokesperson for UC Berkeley, told the SF Gate, the comment was hurtful and threatening to students, particularly women, in his class and beyond. We strive to foster a supportive, inclusive environment for all our students, and we invite everyone to continue to engage with us as we work to improve the climate for our community. Former and current students of the professor claim this isn't the first time he has made offensive, misogynistic comments. A junior at the school said she avoided taking a class with Shuchuk because she was uncomfortable based on prior conduct she heard about, along with a transphobic joke on his website, according to the Daily Cal. Interestingly, Shuchuk edited his bio after the controversy. It used to say he, quote, identifies as a Smith & Wesson 460 XVR 45 caliber revolver and uses the pronouns death, death them, death self, according to the student newspaper.
Jesus.
His website, I know, did you hear that?
No.
Doesn't that make him sound even more nutty, even more threatening and dangerous? I think so.
I mean, yes, right?
Right.
That alone, I get that that's a joke.
I know.
But still, you work at a school, dude.
Right? It's not appropriate. It's not even remotely appropriate. It makes it sound unhinged. And his website also includes criticism of seed oils such as soybean oil and canola oil, which have been linked to numerous health problems. I mean, fine. But he also criticized the public health establishment for pushing what he views as false information about the benefits of carbohydrates. So,
Well, fair enough. I mean, you know.
Whatever. I mean, at least it's not him talking about being a gun. The SF Chronicle said about his statement on his class forum, you need to read between the lines to see the statements for what they are, coded language for an increasingly prominent set of values that dehumanizes women. His statements echo a dangerous fringe ideology of male supremacy centered on backlash against the recent social gains of feminism and LGBT civil rights activism. We allow it to proliferate at our peril. So yeah, I agree. In a Reddit forum, I think it was a Reddit forum. It might have been Twitter. I'm not sure. I don't remember now. A user said, this reminds me of a rant that went viral several years back by some tech bro who was complaining about 49ers, Bay Area girls who are fours who think they're nines because of the gender imbalance. And another person commented, then we should call the men 76ers because they think they're entitled to a 7+ the minute they start making six figures, which I thought was funny. The chairs of the university's electrical engineering and computer science departments met with Shuchuk, which apparently prompted him to apologize. So I'm not surprised there. I would love to have been a fly on the wall in that room to see what he had to say for himself.
Oh my gosh. If only it had been accidentally recorded and leaked online. I mean, what the fuck? The guy's tenured, so...
Yeah, all this time.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's tenured at Berkeley, so they're not going to fire him. Right.
Yeah.
But, and it's like the most un-Berkeley thing to say.
I know. It seems odd that would be the case in Berkeley. But I guess even Berkeley has conservative.
I say, since you live in the Bay Area and you're within artillery distance, Berkeley.
Right.
Give our international listeners a kind of a rundown on, like, what is Berkeley? What's that Berkeley mentality? What's the stereotype of a Berkeley student, professor?
It's still quite liberal. It's been liberal from, God, I don't know how long, but in the 60s, forever. It was extremely liberal. I guess forever. But in the 60s, it gained a reputation for being very liberal and sort of communist, the right wing would say. And the relationship has always been between students and professors. As far as I have been told, it's been sort of an equitable relationship. So less hierarchical maybe than some other universities. And I did not go to Berkeley, so I did not experience that firsthand. But lately, now that tech has taken over the area, San Francisco and Berkeley probably have become less liberal. And I'm betting that you see that with these people coming in from tech companies and they're sort of, I don't want to say incel. I'm trying to avoid saying incel, but they're kind of incel. Mm-hmm. So you see more and more of this type of discussion happening in the area to our great detriment, I would say. So it's not the same place that I moved to in 1995 by any stretch of the imagination. And even in 1995, it wasn't as liberal as it was, you know, in the 70s and 80s and early 90s. So I'm sad that San Francisco and the Bay Area have changed so much. I still hope that it may become more liberal as time passes again. But who knows? So yeah, that's all I know about Berkeley, really. I should have done some research on it to talk about.
That's about as much as I know about Berkeley, too. And again, I was really surprised. Shocked is a word I'll use, right?
Yeah.
To read this professor's comments. Just given that it was Berkeley.
That it was Berkeley.
However, Berkeley is one of those types of places that values different points of view. So I could see where they might keep an unhinged lunatic on staff, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah. Holy moly.
I guess, can you get rid of tenured professors, or is it just really hard, or is it just almost impossible? I don't know.
I don't know either. I've always grown up with the assumption that tenured is like this golden magic. You could do whatever you want, and nobody can do a thing about it. And of course, I think that's great, actually. Because professors live in a very theoretical world and they have discussions and sometimes points of view that are, I'll say often, but sometimes miles ahead of where the culture is. And so the idea of like queer studies or feminist studies or gender studies, when these things were, we'll use the word percolating in the 70s at universities. It's like, we should study this, right? The people who championed that couldn't be fired because they were tenured.
Which is fortunate.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So I guess you have to take the bitter with the sweet.
There you go. Like a chocolate-covered pretzel.
Exactly. And that's what this dude is, a chocolate-covered pretzel that's gone rotten. Okay, so do you want to talk about the apology?
Well, actually, so I've got a couple of quick things here.
Okay, cool.
And I'll say nothing major. I wondered about this. What does it mean when you live in a land where women are plentiful? And what would those different behaviors be? Like, what's up with that? Right? Because I know plenty of women from many different parts of the world, right?
Yeah.
And some of those women are from countries where women are plentiful. They all kind of act the same around men and dating and stuff. And so I was like, what is this magic world this guy thinks exists out there?
Good question.
Where, like, oh, if you have five women to every one man. So I did my favorite thing and I asked ChatGPT.
Oh, good.
Yes. Because, you know, poor little ChatGPT, it's just a computer system. It doesn't know very much. And so I asked, what are the dating dynamics typical in areas where there are a higher number of females to males? Right?
Good question.
And ChatGPT gave me real bullshit answers because there's just no fucking difference, everybody. But here we go.
Yeah.
This is what ChatGPT had to say. I mean, okay, arguably I could see where there could be some differences. And I think some of these are interesting points. Okay, so ChatGPT first clarifies, dating dynamics can vary significantly depending on cultural norms, social expectations, and individual preferences. But in areas where there is a higher number of females to male, several common patterns may emerge. Point one, increased competition. With more women than men, there may be a higher level of competition among women for the attention of a smaller pool of eligible men. This can lead to more aggressive pursuit strategies or a heightened emphasis on physical appearance or other desirable traits. Okay, I mean, all right, I could see that happening. I can also see where that would be a negative. Selective behavior from men. Oh, come on. It's not selective already? Men may feel a sense of abundance and therefore become more selective in their dating choices. ChatGPT, have you ever met a guy? They may have the luxury of being more discerning about potential partners and may prioritize qualities beyond physical attractiveness.
Such is normally as all they care about.
Personality, intelligence, or shared interests.
What?
ChatGPT, you're high.
That's crazy.
Shifts in gender roles. Oh, no. In environments where women outnumber men, traditional gender roles in dating may be challenged or redefined. Women may take on more assertive roles in initiating relationships or planning dates, while men may feel less pressure to conform to traditional expectations of pursuit and provision.
Hmm.
Number four, polygamy or non-monogamous relationships. In some cases, a surplus of women relative to men can lead to cultural or societal acceptance of polygamous or non-monogamous relationships. Increased value on masculine traits. In environments where men are in high demand, traits traditionally associated with masculinity, such as confidence, assertiveness, and leadership, may be particularly prized by women seeking partners. Social imbalance, the gender disparity in the dating pool can create social tensions. Fair enough. And then innovative dating strategies is the final point. Individuals, now let me know when you hear an innovative dating strategy. Individuals may resort to unconventional dating strategies or platforms to increase their chances of finding a compatible partner. This could include online dating, matchmaking services, or social events specifically designed to bring together singles in the area.
I think that happens all the time.
That's every day.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So, anyway, interesting that this guy has this, that there is, it's not just this guy, right? He's not the one single guy who has this idea, but interesting that there's this belief that, like, if there are more women around, it's easier for men.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily true.
Couldn't say. And
I don't want to talk about him. Well, yeah, I do want to talk about him personally. He, according to what I have read, personally went to the Philippines for his wife. No offense to his wife, you know, get your bag, but.
There's a reason why men go to the Philippines. Let me rephrase that. There's a reason why a particular type of man goes to the Philippines for a wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have certain expectations of women, and they feel that the women from these other countries are going to fulfill those expectations, and not just put aside the fact that they probably can't find a date here.
Right.
But they have these certain expectations of women's behavior, and they feel that the people from these other countries are going to fulfill those expectations. And I think they're going to be unpleasantly surprised when the women come to the United States and expect things of these men as well, whether or not they're the things these men expect them to expect or not, if that makes any sense. So, like I said to you earlier today, I'm looking forward to the day when this woman divorces this man and takes everything that he has, hopefully. And I hope that it's in the news so I get to read about it.
Well, we'll see what happens when she finds out that, like, oh, divorce is an option.
Yeah.
You don't need a man to provide for you, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say anything about her because what do I know about her? She didn't do anything.
Yeah. We're just theorizing about their relationship, really. So we don't know about them. But I'm just speculating based on my understanding of men like him and their experiences.
I'll say that when I saw the photo of him and his wife, like, I could not have, if I wanted to come up with something that was ungenerous and unkind, I would make up a story about how he's got an Asian wife that he probably imported from another country, a mail order bride. And yeah, imagine my surprise.
Right. So, shall we talk about the apology?
Yeah, let's talk about the apology.
All right. So, he responded to the person, so the man who, or the boy, I guess, the person who posted the original complaint about not being able to get a date and not being able to find a job, posted as Anonymous Nat, G-N-A-T. And Jonathan Shuchuk's response is, read my reply to Anonymous Nat, his apology. And he says, I apologize for my reply to Anonymous Nat, which has caused bad feelings I did not intend. I did not mean to convey any disrespect for women or anybody else, nor to blame the blameless. I value all of my students. I am sorry for my words and for how it made many of you feel. I hope you'll understand that my comment was motivated by sympathy for Anonymous and a desire to help students. Life is hard sometimes. I feel for all of you who are having a rough time for whatever reason. Things can get better, and it starts with empathy for each other. Just the biggest piece of shit apology, not that I've ever seen, but I've seen a lot of piece of shit apologies since we started this podcast, but this is a pretty bad one. A lot of blaming things on other people, a lot of saying, I'm sorry for how what I did made you feel, rather than I'm sorry for what I did. I didn't mean to convey any disrespect, even though his words were full of disrespect. And, you know, I was only trying to help somebody, which is infuriating. He's sympathetic for the man and only wants to help the man, completely disregarding the women who are, I don't know, 23% of his class, I think, because he's teaching STEM and women are underrepresented in STEM, which he doesn't give a shit about because he probably thinks that the men are smarter than the women anyway.
Well, the women are taking the places that belong to men.
Exactly. Well put. Was there an expression of regret? Kind of. Did he explain what went wrong? No, he said he was trying to help. He was motivated by sympathy for Anonymous. That's not an explanation, in my opinion. Was there an acknowledgement of responsibility? No, he said, I did not intend to hurt anybody's feelings. I did not intend to convey any disrespect. There was no declaration of repentance. There was no acknowledgement of damage or what he would do differently in the future. Certainly not. And there was no request for forgiveness. So, I was going to say, so Brent thinks that instead of giving these apologies a 1 to 10 rating, we should either accept or refuse the apology, because he says in real life, you don't rate apologies. You either accept them or reject them. So I think we can try that out in this particular podcast today. And I'm going to say that this apology was not accepted by me.
Yeah, I would not accept this apology either. It's ill-formed, it's unthoughtful, and it just doesn't do the heavy job of explaining what went wrong and what are we going to do to make things better.
He doesn't seem to understand what he did wrong.
No, not at all.
I'm sure he doesn't.
He doesn't.
I'm sure he doesn't.
No, yeah. He has no idea why people are upset. He just knows that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And he knows that his superiors want him to apologize. So this is what he's going to spit out.
Yep. Exactly. So I would definitely not accept this apology. And then because I am a rating person, I would still throw a number on it. Because even an apology that I'm like, oh, all right, great. I'll take that apology.
Okay.
But it's a 4, right? So this one, I would give a solid 1 to.
I would too. I think a 1. It gets a 1.
Made an apology.
A 1 is generous.
Kind of forced to.
Yeah.
And whatever. Within this, I read an article by a writer named Sole Ho at the San Francisco Chronicle. Oh, so you...
I read that article. I know her, yeah. I mean, I don't know her personally, but I know her writing.
Oh, I got really excited. I was like, oh, really? You know them? Awesome. Okay. So just to kind of highlight for our listeners exactly why his statements are dangerous, right?
Yeah.
To use a word. Shuchuk, so I'm going to quote now from Sole Ho. Shuchuk, who later apologized for his comments, didn't go into detail about what those differences might be in regards to a area where there are a lot of women versus the Bay Area.
Right.
But you need to read between the lines to see the statements for what they are. Coded language for an increasingly prominent set of values that dehumanizes women. His statements echo a dangerous fringe ideology of male supremacy centered on backlash against the recent social gains of feminism and LGBT civil rights activism. We allow it to proliferate at our peril. This rise of misogynistic manosphere ideology in online spaces offers emotionally vulnerable men an outside factor they can blame for feeling rejected or sexually outcast. Maybe it's because women don't recognize the virtues of nice guys like them. Or maybe women in places like the Bay Area are too picky, too feminist, or too full of themselves for regular guys. By diagnosing feminism, and therefore female autonomy, as the source of actual legitimate issues of loneliness, wealth inequality, and social disconnection, manosphere websites take advantage of men's desperation to rake in huge profits in online self-help courses and cryptocurrency.
Wow.
They go on to say, when I first heard about the Shuchuk controversy, I couldn't help but think about the Montreal massacre. In 1989, an armed assailant killed 14 women, starting with 6 students in a mechanical engineering class at a public university in Montreal. In a suicide letter, the killer claimed to have embarked on this spree to strike a blow against feminists who have always ruined his life. The case shocked Canada, prompting a flurry of legislation aimed at reducing violence against women and increasing gun control measures. A year after the Montreal attack, Shuchuk graduated from a Vancouver university with a computer science degree. Surely he remembers this incident. The fact that he didn't come away with it for a commitment to treat women as equals damns him and damns a society that allows toxic beliefs about women to thrive. Had you heard of the Montreal massacre?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I had no idea about it at all.
Yeah.
No idea at all. And I was very surprised to discover that this horrific historical event happened on December 6th, 1989, where 14 students were murdered because of their gender by a 25-year-old man who was angry at feminists. And one of the things you got to love about Canada is they actually do take things seriously. And so December 6th, the day of the shooting, is now the National Day of Remembrance and Action Against Violence Against Women throughout Canada. Yeah. And, you know, I do have to agree with Sole that this guy who is an educator, who is responsible for training the next generation of workers, engineers, right, computer scientists, clearly holds half of the population in such low regard.
Yep, I agree.
So,
agreed. It's sad. It's sad and infuriating.
It's sad and infuriating, but as always happens on our show, whenever we touch upon a topic, it gets resolved. And so misogyny is about to disappear.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, everyone.
So how about a who's sorry now or apology expected?
Oh, I've got one. I've got an apology expected.
Awesome.
We're never going to get it, but it is an apology expected. And it's from Pope Gregory of the 6th century. We're not going to get it because he is dead.
He's dead.
And so what is he sorry for? What should he be apologizing for? He should be apologizing for helping to associate Mary Magdalene with sex work.
Oh.
Right? So here we go. The association of Mary Magdalene with prostitution is largely based on historical misconceptions and interpretations rather than concrete evidence. The confusion likely arose from conflating Mary Magdalene with other biblical figures and legends. Mm. One key factor contributing to Mary Magdalene's reputation as a prostitute slash sex worker is a conflation with the unnamed sinful woman mentioned in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament Gospels. In Luke 7, I don't know anything about the Bible. In Luke 7:36 through 50, and which feels like a lot of lines, an unnamed sinful woman anoints Jesus's feet, leading to speculation that this woman could be Mary Magdalene. Similarly, in John 8:1-11, an adulterous woman is brought before Jesus, leading to assumptions that this woman is Mary Magdalene, despite no explicit mention of her name in the passage. In the 6th century, Pope Gregory I delivered a sermon in which he merged the accounts of several women in the Gospels, including Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, and the unnamed sinful woman, into a single narrative. In the sermon, he identified Mary Magdalene as the repentant prostitute, solidifying this association in Christian tradition. However, contemporary scholars acknowledge that this is bullshit. There's no such meant. You can't draw that conclusion from the source material.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pope Gregory, you owe us an apology. Yes, and that is your Easter sermon about Easter and the Bible and misogyny. No guns were involved in that passage. Yes. And, okay, what about you? Who's sorry now or apology expected?
I have two apology expecteds, actually. Ooh. One is really short. So the short one is that there's a taqueria in San Francisco that's charging $22 for a burrito.
Is it made out of gold?
No, it is not. They're saying that's what it cost them to make it, which seems a little bit fake to me. They got a lot of backlash when they originally started charging $22 for their burrito, and I don't know if they're going to apologize or charge less, but I do know that they got a lot of backlash in social media for it. So, and that is not a trend I would like to see proliferate, because things are expensive enough. $22 is insane.
I mean,
and my other
is insane.
Yeah, that's too much for a burrito. It's probably not even a big burrito like they used to be. Burritos have gotten smaller and more expensive. And that is the eternal story, unfortunately. So the other apology expected I have is a little bit longer. It's about San Francisco entrepreneur Bilal Mahmoud, who's running to unseat Supervisor Dean Preston in San Francisco. He has removed language describing himself as a neuroscientist from his campaign website, but he insisted Friday the description is accurate. Until recently, he claimed professional experience as a former Obama staffer, a neuroscientist, and a business owner. He said on Friday that he removed the language so it would not distract from campaign issues, but called the criticism a smear by opponents and did not back down from describing himself as a neuroscientist. A group of neuroscientists questioned his use of the label in a March 1st letter to the candidate that the Chronicle obtained. In the letter, the group requested additional details about his training and credentials and gave him a week to respond. Mahmoud said the criticism was unfounded and part of a smear by opponents without any facts or basis. He provided a copy of a letter written by Stanford professor Robert Sapolsky, his former advisor, who said Mahmoud was, quote, an undergraduate trained neuroscientist. First off, I don't understand how it can be so uncertain whether someone is a neuroscientist or not. Did he study neuroscience? Well, he went to Stanford undergrad, where his advisor said he studied cellular neuroscience, human behavioral biology, stem cell engineering, developmental biology, and signal transduction, which sounds to me like he took a class in neuroscience as an undergrad. If that's the case, then I'm an undergraduate trained geneticist. He did go to postgraduate school and at Cambridge University, and he studied the intersection of business and biology. So I don't think he's a neuroscientist. And I think he should stop saying that he is one.
He's not a neuroscientist.
No. Why would you say that you're a neuroscientist when you're not? I mean, do you think that's going to make people vote for you? Nobody gives a shit if you're a neuroscientist.
Well, you sound smart because you study brains. And so therefore, you're smart.
Yeah. But I mean, he studied biology. So that's smart enough for most people, I think.
It's harder than most people.
Got it. According to the man on the street questions I've been seeing on TikTok, like people are like, what's 6 divided by 2? And the people on the street can't answer. That's smarter than everybody else on the planet. So it's insane. The questions are literally as easy as that.
But you
and
know,
people don't know.
I like, had a hot second. That's why I was laughing. I wasn't laughing because they're so dumb they don't know. I was laughing because I'm so dumb. I actually had to second guess myself for a minute. It was like, it's 3. Is it 3? It better be 3. It's 3.
But you got it right. As opposed to these people, and half of them can't even answer. They can't even take a stab at it. So it's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it for me this week. Do you have anything else?
No, that's it for me. I probably have some chocolate eggs to eat.
Oh, awesome.
Better. It's Easter.
Hopefully they're Cadbury eggs.
That's the only kind of chocolate egg that's worth eating. Awesome. So yes.
All right. And, well, on that note, we will say goodbye and thank you as always. Stay cool, cucumbers, and don't trip potato chips.
TTFN. It's my new sign-off.
That's excellent. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Apologies Accepted, the podcast.
You can find links to the articles and the sources in the show notes.
To submit an apology or find out more, visit us at apologiesaccepted.net, where you can also find our merchandise.
We're on Twitter at apologiesaccepted.
And on Instagram at apologies.accepted.
You can support our important work at patreon.com/apologiesaccepted.
And fuck Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.